are back. Danny Coulson is our guest here on the Paula Gordon Show. I am Paula. Bill Russell was asking about Clint Eastwood movies.
Well, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the cowboys, and generally a great deal of weaponry.
A lot of that. And we live in that kind of world now.
And the objective is to kill someone, and that makes it all worthwhile and makes it an exciting movie.
And, but as compared to a book about the FBI.
Well, and it's interesting because you're insistent from almost page one that that's not the business you're in.
No, it's not. And I think there's one thing that we should all remember is that if we're talking about terrorism, terrorism is a crime. And if you happen to kill a terrorist, you create a martyr. If you take them to court and let the people decide, which are juries, then all you create is a criminal. And we don't care about criminals. And that's the way it should be. Bad ideas are hard to kill. And when you have to create a martyr, or when you do create a martyr, then it makes the idea that much stronger, and it plays on people's paranoia.
And the FBI has done their fair share of creating martyrs over the last 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, absolutely we have. And the federal government, too. Gordon Call, Robert Matthews, David Koresh, who's probably one of the most despicable characters I've ever encountered. Now is defended in literature and in movies as being just a person with a strange religious belief, when in fact he was much more sinister than that.
The FBI, you characterize as the most hierarchical, authoritarian part of the federal government, this side of the military.
That is.
And I remember J. Edgar Hoover. It puts me in an age frame. The necessity of a democracy to have a really powerful law enforcement agency and people who can run very strange rabbits. Isn't there a tension?
Yeah, there is a tension. It's important to have a powerful law enforcement agency that's accountable. That's the key, and one that's properly managed, properly run, and frankly has to account for itself and its behavior. It's a powerful agency, but right now it has a lot of oversight from congressional committees. The real danger in having a powerful institution like the FBI is the political use of it by the executive branch. And I think right now the FBI is at its most vulnerable period with regard to that idea. Now, I don't think the FBI, frankly, with regard to political type of investigations, is independent anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem for our country. It's a problem for all of us.
There's always, I think, been a problem with the FBI. It seems to be two different institutions. And I will say, going in, I've never been a great fan of the FBI. And your book changed that.
Good.
but my sense coming out of that, and you didn't do anything to disabuse me of it, mm-hmm. is that there are really two institutions. One is political, self-promoting, publicity-seeking, hierarchical, bureaucratic.
None of these are nice things to say.
No. Butt covering and words that we won't use on this show, mm-hmm. but you use in your book. And the other is with a great deal of resource, lots of wealth and lots of people. And then there's this other organization that is intended to enforce laws, to support the Constitution, to do what is good and noble and right and just, also with lots of resources.
Yeah.
But there seems to be just an incredible tension between those organizations, and over time, one sort of comes to the top and the other comes to the top. But the problem is the top seems to be the former. I mean, it seems to be in the nature of the power that goes with that institution,
right,
that there are abuses at the top.
What you're really talking about, I think, is the FBI inside the Beltway and the FBI outside the Beltway. I believe that most bad ideas come from headquarters. I think that most good ideas come from the field, where agents are charged with the real-life, day-to-day activity of investigating crime. They're very good at that. And give them a case, they're going to solve it. And let them work with the United States Attorney and make decisions about what crimes to investigate. It's generally my experience when it comes from a headquarters type of directive, like COINTELPRO didn't originate in the mind of some FBI agent in the field. It originated in the mind of some headquarters.
COINTELPRO, we should say, for those who may not remember or didn't grow up in the 60s, was what has given the FBI, I think, publicly a permanent black eye.
Mm-hmm.
Explain what that was.
It was basically an attempt on the part of the FBI to disrupt people engaged in free speech activity. That's kind of it in a nutshell. From stealing the Black Panthers newspapers to all kinds of crazy things, like sending letters to people that were fictitious. And it was just a crazy thing. It was not productive. It was silly, stupid. at a time when we were struggling to have enough agents to work really serious crimes. They were had agents doing that, and that was out of
Hoover's office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it came out of the, I think they call it the National Security Division at that time, and it was bad ideas. We had a terrible case called CISPES, where the FBI investigated Quakers and people involved in certain political activity. That came out of headquarters. Mm-hmm. The agents in the field did not really push that case.
Well, and this has to do, I think, more broadly with, I mean, this started in the 60s, if I recall, with the civil rights movement. Hoover and his staff had no particular use for the civil rights. They thought they were all communist. And then later with the Vietnam, the anti-war movement, and then other things that grew out of that, including the Black Power movement. And the response seems partially, and this goes, to the substance of what we're talking about, Hoover didn't understand any of these things. Mm-hmm. And his people did not understand any of these things.
And this feared them. Back to the fear part.
This may be, back to the Beltway, not Beltway, inside-outside perspective, but there just seemed to be no understanding. The sense seemed to be if it was different, it was dangerous. And if it was dangerous, we had to do something mm-hmm. about it. And with no regard for the Constitution.
Is that right?
To a degree, I think you're right. We can talk about Black Panther, and I think that's or the Black Power movement. I know that we had a lot of agents at one time investigating the Black Panthers, and they collected files and did all these silly things that really didn't amount to anything. And then all of a sudden, there was a split in the Black Panther Party between Eldridge Cleaver and Huey Newton, and the Eldridge Cleaver faction started killing people. And they were blowing cops off street corners right and left, and machine gunning New York City police officers, and there were several murders, a lot of robberies. And we thought, gosh, we'll have all this wealth of intelligence. We'll go right out and find these bad guys and come to find out they didn't have a clue. And it was up to the criminal agents to go out and work the crimes. And that's all we should be doing, basically, is crimes. And if you want to talk about terrorism, if there's no violence associated with it or some criminal activity, is free speech. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing where the government has to remember that we treat terrorists as criminals, and if you start treating them as something else, then I think that's where we step over the line and get in a lot of trouble.
Well, and this also amounted to aggressive harassment at best.
Well, certainly not the arrest of the murderers.
Right. I'm talking about the investigations, the ongoing investigations of people who were simply exercising their free speech rights.
Yeah. And frankly, most agents thought that was horrible. They didn't like to do it.
Yeah. I'd go back a little bit to what you were saying about the good ideas come out of the field, because I think that this is one of those big truths.
Well, when I'm listening you talk about headquarters, it's not just FBI headquarters. this is a rule in general. Headquarters tends to generate bad ideas, whether it's in the public sector,
Waco.
The private. Well, not just in the government, though. I'm talking about business as well.
No, and a lot of people have asked me to do a book on business, a management book.
I'll bet.
To talk about.
You've already done it.
Yeah. Our publisher and my agent and my partner said, you have to write a book on how to manage. But you're absolutely right. Nobody likes their headquarters. But I think in the government, it's even more of a problem, because we're out with the people and we're supposed to serve the people. And
when you're being the FBI agents
or policemen or other agents, uh-huh. we're out there, we're with you guys. And we see what the problems are. We see what you'd like, what you don't like. And people in that beltway, inside that D.C. area, are all concerned about budget and the next, who's competing with us. And frankly, their next promotion. Most of us didn't care about promotion. I enjoyed command. I loved to be a commander. But I never cared about being an assistant director or the deputy director of the FBI. As a matter of fact, when I was promoted to become a deputy assistant director, I hated it. I fought that thing 3 or 4 times and got out, talked my way out of it a bunch of times, and ultimately had to go back and be one. But it's part of the politics, and it's politics as with the big P and with also with a little P. And it's a frustrating thing for all of us to deal with.
You're still frustrated.
I'm frustrated. To this very moment, I'm frustrated with it, but fortunately, I'll have to deal with it, and I just have to remember it.
When we come back, let's talk about the fact that you are no longer with the FBI, and through a series of circumstances, including having had more or less 30 years there. This is The Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell and I are talking with Danny Colson, who has written a book called No Heroes with Elaine Shannon. It's quite a remarkable look inside the FBI's secret counter-terror force. Paula Gordon, Bill Russell, we'll be right back.